deficiency.
Walking in the flesh, part two. Walking in the flesh. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Philippians, are you in church this morning? If you are in church, say, praise the Lord. Okay? You're still trying to be here. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This was Paul speaking. He says, we are the true circumcision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If there was anybody that was anybody that has a pedigree to boast, only few people can match that pedigree in the flesh. He was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was so zealous he was persecuting the church. And touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Very few people could match that. But Paul said, in verse 8, he said, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness that is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Hallelujah. The Christian must be taught the word of God in a constant manner, in a constant way, so that his faith will grow in the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, as you have been taught in him, rooted and built up in the faith. The Christian, let me give a charge to the pastors. The child of God must be taught the word of God diligently. Number one, must be taught the word of God dutifully. Number two, must be taught the word of God constantly. Number three. And as you do this, you as a Christian can have an ever increasing glow of spiritual improvement in your life. You can have an ever increasing buoyancy. You are just buoyant. You don't have any money. You are just happy. You are just glad because Jesus Christ has done it for you. As a Christian, you can learn the quietness of trust in God. Praise God. Trust in God, no matter the situation. And so, that's the charge I'm giving you as the pastors of this local assembly. You can learn the calmness and tranquility in spite of peace on the outside. The peace you have is not peace on the outside. The peace you have is not peace on the inside. The peace is Jesus Christ. He is our peace. So that means if there is peace on the outside, the constant peace you have in God, you still have it. If there is trouble on the outside, the constant peace you have in God is still there. The state of your mind is peaceful in spite of chaos. And this kind of stability only comes from trust in the Word of God. Because it is by the Word that you assure your heart that in the midst of problems, it is by the Word that you assure your heart in trust. It's by the Word that you are convinced this is God's position on this matter. This is rock solid Christianity. This is what we aim to achieve in this local assembly. We are not people that say, well, help me, or I help myself. No. We are saying the help cometh from the Lord. Is of God. He has given us the helper. In John 16. And don't give God ultimatums. Because he that believeth God does not haste. And I keep saying to us, one particular characteristic of the spiritual realm of God, it will interest you to know, is tangibility. It's tangible. You can feel it, as it were. You can know it, even though it's not seen. Tangibility. It means the things of the Spirit of God are real. They are real, very real. More real than the next person beside you. It's very real. They are substantive matter in their realm altogether. And the wisdom of Christianity is understanding the sensibility of God. There is such a thing as God's thoughts. There is such a thing as God's ideas. There is such a thing as God's intentions. And so, when you come to God, you must believe that He exists. It is a must that you believe God exists. Praise God. Get me that. It is a must. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Because he that believes in God must come on the basis of what he laid down. You must believe in God that he exists. And that you believe that he exists, God will now use this as a means to try your faith, to test your faith. Oh, you believe God? You believe you went to church today? You believe? Okay. Yeah, let's see if you do believe that. And sometimes you pray for something, you don't see it. It doesn't mean that God is silent. And sometimes you pray for maybe progress, and you don't see the fact. As a matter of fact, the more you pray for progress, the more you are retrogressing. Praise God. But then you look into the Word, you say, see, that must come to God, must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that believe. Is a rewarder of them that believe that He exists. And how do I know? You look into the Word. This is what God is saying. You must be able to lay your hands upon that which God is telling you. God is not telling you anything other than what is in the word anyway. That is how we start to know. And so I'm talking about the realities of spiritual things. The realities of the power of God. The realities of angels who are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. So you need to see Jesus Christ from the pages of the Bible as God paints him. In Luke 24, and verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. This was when Jesus was raised from the dead. And then, verse 25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses, he began at Genesis, and all the prophets. That is, he began at Genesis, and he ended at Malachi. And he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, if I'm opening my Bible to read, I should see Jesus from the pages of the scriptures. Verse 44. The Bible says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning who? Are you in church? Concerning me. Jesus was the one talking. And so if you go to church and nobody testifies about Jesus, nobody points you to Jesus, and nobody tries to say something about Jesus, you have not come to church. Praise God. Now, faith accepts as the facts this is let me try and give this example. Praise God. If I'm walking in faith and I don't have money and I'm trusting God for money, maybe the money is 50,000 or 5,000 or whatever, it's money, okay? And I tell God about it. Faith accepts the facts of the situation, which is you don't have money. Faith accepts the facts of the situation, which is I don't have money. But faith also, in the same instant that it accepts the fact that this is the situation that is before me, faith also accepts as superior Christ's facts over my situation. Praise God. What is one Christ fact over my situation? For example, 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that in all things you will have sufficiency and you abound unto every good work. Not only will God answer that need, but God will give you more so that you may support the work of the gospel. That is faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, tells us, while we look at the things which are seen, while we look not, brother, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Are you following me? Or am I speaking too loud for you? Or too cool? Are you in church this morning? All right. Okay. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man, the things that God had prepared for us in the spirit. How do we know these things from the word? God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. What is the assurance of your salvation? Your feelings. What is the assurance of your salvation? Is it your feelings? No, it cannot be. And thank God, it is not so. Praise God. You don't feel saved. You don't be like, today I don't feel saved. It's not by feelings. You need to learn to put the feelings in the right place. You need to learn to see your feelings with the right perspective. Praise God. It's by faith. By faith. If I die now, I know that I am going to meet the Lord. That is what the Bible says. It's not on the basis of my feelings. The assurance of my salvation is from the word. And then we go back to it for reassurance and reassurance and reassurance and continue reassurance. But I know I am saved. And this is where Christianity becomes thick. This is where the word of God becomes the predominant source. The predominant source. The predominant governor of your salient thoughts and desires. You don't just look at things on the basis of what you see. You don't look at things on the basis of what you hear. This is where the word of God becomes the particular inspirator of whatever ideas and thoughts you may have or you may manifest. It is the Bible that gives the assurance I am saved and not my feelings. Praise God. It is not a feeling. It is not a culture. It is not a church. It is not a pastor. It is God's word that tells me I am a child of God. You now defer to that word, to that word of God, as the very substance, the elemental substance and the existence of spiritual things. You defer to it. Praise God. Don't worry, I'm still going to talk about the message in a short while. Praise God. Let me open to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 18. It says, you are not come unto a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, at the sound of trumpet and the voice of words. Which voice? They that heard it entreated, they begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You have come to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. It means, and to the sprinkled blood. To the sprinkled blood once and for all, that speaks better things than that of Abel. He says, see that you refuse him that speaks. For if they escape not, who refuse him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Praise the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Last week I gave you examples of, you know, fleshly manifestations. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What are the three things about walking that I said last week? If you can remember, three things I said about walking to note. Anybody? Dependence, destination, dedication. Thank you. There's some people that are like, you call me. Praise God. And so, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, verse 8, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident. That's what the Bible says. So, wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We walk by the realities in the Lord. That's how we live. We live by dedication to the Lord. We live by, this is where we are going. We walk by the realities in the Word of God. Our progress is not based on what we see. Our conviction is based on the Word of God. We are convinced of the existence of spiritual things in the church. The church has been misled about the concept of faith. Faith to us is a tool to get material possessions. This is a very serious error in the church. Faith is not used. It's not that we are using God to get something. Faith is lived. Look at the life of Enoch. By faith, he walked with God and he was not. Look at the life of Joseph. Christianity today is called the household of faith in the Bible. You, as a child of God, you are in the faith. That's how you walk. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, it tells us, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Galatians 6 and 10, it says, as therefore we have this opportunity, let us do good to the household of faith. 1 Timothy 4 and 1, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. He uses the faith to qualify us in Bible times. Listen, God does not bless in the physical. Why? When you hear statements like that, what do you think? What juggles in your mind? God does not bless in the physical. Why? John 4:24. God is a spirit. Everything he does is in the spirit. If God blesses in the physical, if he bless you with a car in the physical, he has blessed unbelievers more with more cars in their lifetime in the physical. Praise God. Because the things of God are not physical. Because the things in the physical can wither, can die, can be stolen, can get damaged. But his spiritual blessings are forever. He blessed you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all blessings, all spiritual blessings in. That is how God bless. I don't need to do anything than to believe that word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who hath called you, who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeded great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 is not talking about material things. If you look at it in context, it's talking about our home in heaven. We walk by the convictions we have in the realities of this life, the substantial existence of the spiritual things of God. Praise God. We see things, but we do not allow the things that we see to determine our thoughts. We live in this world. We know when they change the money, when they change the naira to blue bala, whatever it is called. We know. We are not blind. We know. 1 naira is different from 2 naira. We know the economy of Nigeria is no economy at all. But we are not moved by these things. Instead, we are moved by the word of God. That is what the word is saying. We hear things, but we don't allow the things we hear to govern our operations. Maybe you have a bad neighbor, a stupid neighbor that is always complaining and cranking up and just gets up and is shouting at one of your own. You hear that. You can tell. You want to give it to you know that thing that happens that you want to like bust out. But you think again. We hear things. We don't allow the things we hear to govern our operations. Instead, we allow the word of God. The word of God is saying gentleness, meekness, peace. That's how to walk by the Spirit. We smell things, we touch things, we feel, but we do not allow what we smell, what we touch, what we feel to guide our thoughts. Don't live by these things guiding your thoughts. Instead, we allow conviction in the Word of God to motivate our thoughts, the Word of God to impel our actions. This is Christianity. It is the assurance in my heart that I have something different from any other person. Praise God. It is not about possessing or losing anything. It is about what I have in Christ. And so we walk by faith, not by what we see. We walk by faith, not by what we touch. There are some things that you cannot imagine in this place. You will come to church and you will be shocked at the beauty of this place, the radiance of it. Somebody can maybe spend like 30 million here, and then you will come to church, you'll be like, I didn't know that AC can be that magnificent. It's easy. You stay back in church not because you want to stay back, but because of the ambience of the place. And Pastor Bolu is talking, and you know, just comes in a suit, and if he shouts, you say, take it. Oh my God. You can come to a place like this, it's looking raggedy, all ragged. It doesn't make a difference what you see. Don't think about what you see as being the master and the Lord of all. It has gotten them astray. They are good people, they are Christians, but it has gotten them astray. They were moved by what they see. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we hear. We are moved by the Word of God. That is what is in the Bible. So two types of walk that is open to us. You can walk by the flesh, or you can walk by the Spirit. You can walk by the flesh, or you can walk by the Spirit. But I'm saying to us, we don't behave like the world will behave. We don't respond like the world responds to issues. We don't react to the impulses of the flesh. We don't allow the world to give us a picture, a wrong picture of the Lord. We sit down and we listen to the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God so that faith will be born in our hearts. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And once that faith, I don't care whether you have been a Rahab in your life. I don't care whether you've been the wife of Joseph. Once that faith is born in your heart, God is present, mightily present at your beck and call to do whatever you command. This is how to walk in the Spirit. We don't guide our steps by the thoughts and the behaviors of the world. We don't guide our steps by the mentality of the world, our attitudes, our speeches, our thinking. We order it. Instead, we order it with what we read in the Scriptures. We don't see things We see things in line with the scripture. We don't just taste things. We taste, we touch, we perceive, we feel in line with the scriptures. Instead of doing that, instead of doing that which we have been used to, instead of doing that which we have been in the flesh doing all along, instead we allow conviction from the Word of God about the realities of spiritual things to motivate a different kind of walk. And so the question is, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you attempting to try? Or are you doing what you have been used to all years long? You are convinced from the Word of God that is working by the Spirit? Or you are convinced in the flesh by the things you see, hear, feel, and taste? I told you, faith accepts superior facts in Christ about the truth of your circumstances and the superior Word of God. Praise God. It is so easy to walk in the flesh because we have been used to it all years long. It's an unconscious reality to us. And it is more so easy when you take your eyes off the Word of God and you never allow the Word of God to predominate your thoughts. You walk by the senses. You will walk by the flesh. But when you take your eyes off the flesh, off the senses, and you deliberately allow your mind to be in subjection to the Word, then the Word of God will influence your thoughts. And these thoughts will determine your walk in the Spirit. Praise God. The Word of God should affect us. Efe, Sammy, get on the board. The Word of God should affect us to that extent. It is possible to go to church, to come to a church like this, and you never allow the Word of God affect you. The Word of God will never influence you until it is the Word of God. Until you submit yourself to its undiluted teaching format. Because the stakes is very high. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And you will discover that Christianity is so influential and influencing that if we ever allow the Christian culture become our culture, we will impact this world even without saying a word. In Romans 8 and verse 13, are you in church or are you tired? You want to go home? I know. Romans 8 and verse 13. Praise God forevermore. Romans 8 and verse 12, rather. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are not debtors. You don't owe the flesh anything. Good flesh, bad flesh, you don't owe them anything. Praise God. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So you have a choice to either allow the reality of the existence of spiritual things as contained in the Bible to motivate you, or you allow the reality of the existence of your contact with the physical determine your supposed godly living. The choice is yours. Praise God. God has given us the power to live above sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, rather exercise yourself unto godliness. And so I want to assess my lifestyle so that it is coordinated by my conviction in the Word of God. Everyday choices are before us that will either make us or mar us. You will either make a choice on the basis of the choice you have made before, or you make a choice based on God. People are cajoled, manipulated, but not God. God is not mocked. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith. We walk by faith. We only walk by the things we see in the Word of God that has filled our minds hitherto, up to now. And it is what your mind, what has been in your mind, that will determine your walk, either towards the spiritual or towards the flesh, towards the carnal. I charge you, spend time understanding God's word. Let its overpowering influence affect you. You become noticeable. Or rather, it becomes noticeable when you submit your mind completely to it. Hallelujah. I'll continue next week by walking in the Spirit. I'll try and see if I can condense the sermon into one and thank you, Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is against God. It is not subject to the law of God. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But it says, you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led, as many as are carried by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, mighty God. We give you praise and glory.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we call out, Abba, Father. It's the word that means Father, oh Father. We have a sense of belonging. We have a sense of relationship because God has become our Father. Precious seed.